You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
On a Thursday morning, it's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, a messy, rainy Lake Wissota, which I'm fearful is going to be in icy, slippery roads around Lake Wissota a little bit later on. So pay extra attention to the falling temperatures today and to your own local forecast before you consider any kind of long drives. Let's see, on the text line from Travis in Pierce County, I have been listening to you, Pat, since you started broadcasting on Civic Media 3 years and have enjoyed your show. I will miss listening to you and Parker in the morning. I look forward to what the future holds for both of you. I think Pat should run for U.S. Senate, and I want the first yard sign. Thanks for everything, Travis from Pierce County. Did you do this one, too? Are you, like, sending these in? Or is that actually Travis in Pierce County?
Allegedly, that's actually Travis. Okay. It's possible that I've set my friends up to something, but you never know.
I can't just stop. I'm not running for anything. Been there, done that. Got nothing but happy memories from it.
What else are you going to do in retirement?
Wink. I'm going to manage Chad Holmes' campaign for governor as he joins us now from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. How are things out there?
That campaign would flame out the day that I made the announcement.
Yeah,
they would see that my campaign video with me trying to walk and talk at the same time, some sort of music behind it, and I'd fall down.
Yep, you got
to. And then
it
would be over, and then I'd be the lead monologue joke on Colbert or Myers or whatever.
Yeah, it's not for everybody, especially if you have to do the walk and talk video now, you know. But that, although actually to be honest, that's actually kind of what is expected of me, not walking and talking as a candidate, but doing the walking and talking news explainer videos. That's kind of the thing now, if you ever notice, that you don't have anchors sitting at an anchor desk. You know, they're out there and they're walking and they're talking about what's in the news. And I've had to unlearn everything that I ever learned about TV and news. You know, things were horizontal. Now everything's vertical because of your phone. Everything, you had to start and stop and start and stop a million times to get the lines just right. Now you're expected to have some ums and ahs, so that you sound like a real person. The camera used to be on a tripod. Now the camera is supposed to wiggle so that you look all genuine.
I hate that.
I mean, all the things I learned about being polished and professional now come off to, I guess, other people as fake. It's like, wait, no, I meant I was trying really hard. But apparently you're supposed to look like you're not even trying. So,
you know, and you were just saying that. It kind of got me thinking here. It's like, if that was the only area that the polish and the professionalism was expected to go away. But nowadays, I mean, you can go right to the president and you
absolutely
go to,
what you go, professional and polished.
We had a certain expectation. And even in the aftermath of last night's speech. I saw Ken Martin from the DNC put out a statement on social media and using an expletive somewhere. And I mean, it's like, I want to go back where there's a certain sense of decorum expected. And I would say even with anchors, we don't, so we're supposed to, am I supposed to, I'm pretty good at it, but are we supposed to have these airs that come flying at the people? I don't know. I just, maybe call me old fashioned. I guess I'll have to become the old curmudgeon now that you're leaving.
There you go. You've become you're the new curmudgeon in waiting for Civic Media, and that'll be fine. I've been looking for a way to put old fashioned as part of the branding for what I do here.
And in fact, I think I might have it here. Yes, hang on a second.
We made
people looking on the radio. Pat is doing something that you should not do in professional broadcasting.
You're not supposed to leave
the microphone.
Yeah.
Way back in the day, we actually put out T-shirts, and it just reminded me that I have this T-shirt. Let me see if I can get it right here. It's got a picture of an old-fashioned, and it says, New Stories, Old-Fashioned Values, Up North News.
There you go.
Pretty good.
And this is the only one that exists like that because it, it really wasn't much of a seller.
Limited edition.
People don't want cocktails when you're hawking a news product, it seems. Anyway. All right. So
that was pre-Trump, though.
Yeah.
Now we need cocktails.
Yeah. It definitely feels that way.
By the way, real fast.
Yes.
If you were a professor, because I was listening on our radio station because I got done with my high school sports show last night at 8. Mm-hmm. So then I'm driving home when he came on. And after my show, I was the lead in for Donald Trump here on WXCO. So it was okay. it was wonderful. So I'm driving home and I'm listening to this and I'm trying to, I'm trying to keep on the road here. And then I started thinking about back when I was in college at UW Eau Claire and I had a speech class and I remember, doing these speeches and being graded on these speeches. And there are a few basics that we're supposed to do when you're given a speech. And all I can think of, this guy would be lucky to get a D+ if he was taking a speech class based on his delivery, just listening to it.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. And now, again, when he first ran, there were people that said, this is new, that's different, it's refreshing, he's not a typical politician. I totally got it. I didn't like it, but I got it. But all these years later, that there are still people that think this is somehow real, fresh and real, and he's just an everyday guy. If you're still getting fooled by that, I mean, he's talking about inflation as if he's ever been to a grocery store in his life.
It's a case where, part of that interview that his chief of staff gave with Vanity Fair this week, Wiles, basically saying he doesn't know anything about anything. And I'm a little bit tired of people who seem to think that's somehow what we need in government. Call me old fashioned, but I want people that actually know what's going on and who actually have a will to learn what's going on and not just throwing stuff on the rear end and throwing it out there and thinking that makes it real.
It's intellectual curiosity is a good thing. And by the way, for as much as we sound, all set in our ways and everything, let me make clear the thing that you have to have. You have to have an openness to acknowledging when you are wrong or that you need to know more before you open your yap. And that's it. That's all it is. And there have been times where I've looked back at something and went, I'm definitely thinking about that differently now based on the things that I have learned. But you got to want to learn, and your instinct when new information comes up isn't to just be in denial. Is to go, I did not know that. I have learned something. Let me, moderate my view of how I, what I previously said about this thing. I'm not saying it happens all the time, but you have to be open to that possibility. And unfortunately, too many people in politics won't even be open to the possibility they might have to amend the way that they look at something.
And something else that I always find myself, when I put out a piece of bad information, it can be the wrong point total in a sports broadcast. It can be the wrong piece of information as I try to report on an issue that is up for discussion in state government or local government. I feel bad about it.
And we should.
And I hate the feeling of that. And I never get the sense of anybody that is a acolyte of MAGA ever feels bad if it's brought up to them, hey, that piece of information is totally false. Well, it's like there should be a sense of pride in the work, whether it's what we do or whether it's what the president of the United States does to put out correct information. And he was just throwing stuff at the wall that was just,
oh my gosh, the fact checking. The fact checking just went on and on for that. The fact checking would take longer than the speech, which makes sense because it takes longer to explain a lie than it does to actually, tell the lie. So we'll obviously this is going to be followed throughout the course of the day here. What are your holiday plans?
My siblings are coming in from points beyond because we kind of live in different areas and one of my sisters has a place up in the Northwoods. Going to go up there actually after the holiday because it's easier sometimes.
Yes. You know, yeah.
Because everybody has their own plans. So basically, my holiday will be post Christmas.
Yeah.
And my holiday will be very quiet, in fact, which I'm actually okay with because I'm running around all the time. And it's actually nice once in a while to be able to settle in and just not talk for a little bit.
Trust me, I'm looking forward to that, as are all the people around me.
I mean, your Thanksgiving thing sounded great, where you just, you and one other person were hanging out at some local watering hole.
Yep, because that was, we were the only two losers who had no place to be on Thanksgiving Day.
That sounds great.
Yeah. And my plan involves a lot of watching the younger grandkids because their parents both have to work a lot over the holidays. And so, we'll hang out with some little kids and watch Bluey and, Disney and, everything else that's involved, and not have to wake up at, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning and not have to talk for 3 hours continuously. And that's all going to be a nice change of pace. But then we got to come up with something else to do, which hopefully involves maybe a few visits over to your fine little radio station, where I'm sure you will still be keeping amply busy broadcasting in the mornings to start off 2026.
I hope you know something.
I don't. I'm just saying. I hope, because you got a good gig over there, and I'd rather look forward to being a guest over there from time to time.
And the thing about it is that this morning, as you know, this being our last little get together, mm-hmm. it reminded me of back when Carson was retiring and Bob Newhart came on, and he goes, came on calmly and goes, "Please don't leave. Please stay. Please don't go away."
For Bob Newhart to come unglued. Yeah. Now, Tony tells us on YouTube that you were busy talking to Fred Clark yesterday, and that was a very good interview with the candidate for Congress.
Yeah, it was. It was very nice to talk to one of the three Dems here in the 7th Congressional District. Very interesting guy. I think a very real man, and I was very impressed, and I look forward to talking to the other two candidates as well. But he is a guy that I think can relate very well. It's not an easy district, as you well know, to be able to cut into what is, I think, a rather significant tilt to the incumbent. But at the same time, I do think as we go into 2026, if you're not able to use what people like Tom Tiffany and other Republicans have done in the last couple of years, we're in trouble. I mean, I would think that maybe at this point there would be a few more of those folks who are just, instinctively going to go, "Oh, there's the R. I'm going to vote for him." I think there's people that are willing to listen here in the next 11 months or so.
I think so, because again, we've met enough people who are traditionally Republican but now feel politically homeless. And they're not going to tell you that they're a Democrat by any stretch, but they're happy to proclaim that they're a bit more independent than they used to be, and that they might have to, for at least one cycle, kick the current Republicans to the curb in the hopes that some other folks come in who actually have all those real, where here's that word again, old-fashioned values that we talked about. Chad Holmes, you can hear him on WXCO in Wausau and through the Civic Media app. My friend, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for making the show what it is.
My pleasure, Pat. Best of luck in everything you do.
Thank you so much. We'll be talking again soon, I hope, in the not-too-distant future. Joe Zepecki is along the way in 15 minutes from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We will talk about more Christmas tunes in just a sec. First, a reminder. Packers play the Bears this Saturday night. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, Wautoma, and Ironwood, Michigan. On Friday, the Badger men's basketball team is playing Villanova in a tournament in Milwaukee. Coverage begins Friday at 6:30 on several Civic Media stations. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. And again, you've got the Badger women's volleyball team in a national semifinal coming up later today as they made it to the Final Four in the NCAA tournament. From Roger and Stevens Point, Parker, we get a note on more Christmas songs that basically should now just be owned by the singer and not sung by anybody else. Elvis Presley's Blue Christmas is one that Roger would nominate.
Yeah, there's
Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree right there by Brenda Lee. There's Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms. Others put in notes like Darlene Love singing Please Come Home for Christmas. And then there's the Eagles, which have a song called Please Come Home for Christmas. Two very different songs, but they're both very, very good. And they're about coming home for Christmas. And I guess where we're getting into the gray area here now, you know, in sports, they talk about the Hall of Fame and then the Hall of the Very Good.
Yes.
And that's where I think some of these get into. For example, let's take Blue Christmas by Elvis.
Yeah.
Now, that is the quintessential version of Blue Christmas. But I know that I've heard a version or two of Blue Christmas, like, say, by a female singer, name escapes me.
Sure.
But again, was very, very soulful, very sincere, and it was a very good version of the tune. So there are songs where you could hear a good version of the tune. It's just that, you know, we started with Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, because the versions that I've heard there, I mean, they can't even hold a candle. They just sound so, they're bringing nothing to it whatsoever. But others you can. Here's another good example. John Mellencamp does a great version of I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. It's got a little, you know, Zydeco, you know, beat going to it. But plenty of other people can also do I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. And then there's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. Springsteen has arguably the best version of Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, but it doesn't mean I wouldn't want to hear other versions of it. So you got that. There's that line of, I don't want to hear anybody else doing some of these others. Oh, here comes a little John Mellencamp. There we go. So, and that's the difference between, say, Darlene Love with her Christmas Baby Please Come Home and the Eagles Please Come Home for Christmas. I would love to hear nothing but the Eagles version of that particular song going forward.
I don't think I've ever
So welcome heard welcome to this segment of Pat is splitting hairs when it comes to Christmas music.
Well, you know, sometimes you need to.
Yeah. So anyway, happy to have your own thoughts on these sounds of the season, because that's it. Then we're not talking about it anymore. And come January, people go, well, why are you stopping the radio show right before Christmas? You try coming up with topics in early January. it's a cold and snowy one out there, let me tell you. Another headline to share here with you, this one from Wisconsin Watch, the investigative journalism site. The headline says, as energy-hungry data centers loom, Wisconsin ratepayers still owe $1 billion on closed power plants. And the article begins talking about the Pleasant Prairie Power Plant. You say that three times fast. The Pleasant Prairie Power Plant in Kenosha County. In 1980 is when it opened. It became Wisconsin's largest generating plant, burning enough coal from Wyoming, some 13,000 tons a day, to provide electricity for up to 1 million homes. It had a good run. But eventually, We Energies shut it down in 2018 after 38 years of generating power. But We Energy customers are still paying for it, according to the report here. A portion of their monthly bills will continue to pay for Pleasant Prairie until 2039, 21 years after the plant stopped producing electricity. In fact, the Wisconsin Watch report says, residential and business utility customers throughout Wisconsin owe nearly $1 billion on so-called stranded assets, power plants that have been or will soon shut down. Customers must not only pay for the debt taken on to build and upgrade the plants, but also an essentially guaranteed rate of return for the utility company owners long after the plants stop generating revenue themselves. Now, this looms even as there are at least seven major high-tech data centers that are being proposed, approved, or under construction. And by one estimate, the report says, just two of the data centers would use more electricity than all Wisconsin homes combined. Now, this takes us back to something that Chad and I were just talking about, and that is the ability to say that, I was wrong about something, or the ability to say, I don't have all the answers, but I want to know more. You've heard me use the smoking ban a few different times. I am a very strident anti-smoker. But, one of the first debates that came up in the legislature when I was elected was the smoking ban. But I also knew it was a small business issue. And so when I supported a longer phase-in of the smoking ban, there were people that were very upset with me. But the more I learned about it, the more I realized I didn't want to just lop that smoking ban in place on like 30 days' notice. Similarly for data centers, I find myself in that view. I know what energy hogs these are. I know what this would do to the ratepayers. And now this new Wisconsin Watch report tells us that even if the data centers are someday not used anymore, ratepayers might still be on the hook for them. And yet, having said all that, we're not going to be using less data. And so I'm less inclined to just give a blanket no. But I do want to say I have to learn more. And I hope that that's a healthy attitude so that we can find ways to generate the data we need, but without draining our natural resources or our pocketbooks along the way. Joe Sopecki is coming up next. You're up north. Once again. All right, a reminder that even though tomorrow is the last day of the show from a live show standpoint, for the next 2 weeks, there will be a series of best of shows, but we've sprinkled in some new content in there as well to keep you interested, including, Jeff Renicky from Friends of the Apostle Islands is going to be talking about an event that's coming up there. Laura Bird is going to have some recommendations for books that you could read for the start of the new year. And we might even bring this guy in, Joe Sopecki, along with his lovely bride, Melissa Baldoff, as we do at the end of every year to kind of talk about the year in review. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. We got a week in review to talk about first with Joe, and frankly, a speech in review as far as whatever that thing was that Donald Trump was delivering from the White House last night. Joe, hello. Did you subject yourself to that?
Every second of it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm not sure I would call it a speech. Mm. At more of a lecture, for sure.
Okay.
But when it was over, the first thought that popped into my head, and the producer will help me out here, was the response after Billy Madison gave his answer at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear that.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Wouldn't it be great if a network could just play that right at the end of the speech?
Because I can't believe none of them did. Yeah. I mean, here's just a smattering of the incoherence.
Okay.
If I pay $5 for a product... and someone reduces the price of it by 100%, it is no longer a product that I have to pay for. It is now free.
Correct.
Because 100% is $5 in that case.
Yes.
So the insanity of we're going to bring prices down by 500 or 600%.
Percent.
Like, it literally breaks the brain to understand that a president of the United States would say such a thing. It had no news whatsoever. right? I actually expected we would get the casus belli, cause for war in Venezuela, because clearly this is escalating. Nope, nothing to see here. There was nothing new. It was, you know, 20 minutes crammed into 12, which meant it was too fast. It was way too shouty. The president was holding on to that lectern like it was a life raft that was going to prevent him from toppling over. All of which is to say, Donald Trump has demonstrated in the last 10 years some political gifts. There are versions of him as a public official that are genuinely charming and that work and that can strike fear into the heart of Democrats running for office. Last night's version was not that version. He is adrift. If I had to like actually give a title to that speech, it was the "Why don't you like me? The beatings will continue until morale improves" speech.
It was, and again, the fact checking just goes on and on. A lot of it stuff that we're already familiar with. For example, saying that you're bringing prices down 500% is there. There was also the warrior dividend, aka bribe, you know, to the military, using tariff funds that either the Supreme Court might order him to refund to consumers, or at the very least, isn't money that came in from foreign countries.
Tell me if I'm being crazy, Pat, but I'm pretty sure the Constitution spells out in Article 1 that the Congress decides how the money gets spent.
Right.
So I believe this is extra constitutional. Is it possible this was one provision tucked into the one thing that Congress has done all year, the big bill? Maybe, but it sounds to me like he just declared, we decided to send some checks out and now they're in the mail, which is not legal and not regular order.
And by the way, also not believable. I will believe it when I actually see a check coming. Donald Trump would not be the first person to say the check's in the mail, and it actually wasn't.
It wouldn't be the first time he ever said it either. He's stiffed multiple contractors over the years.
Oh my goodness, yes. And I noticed as well in the White House that there's a mold that is growing in there. You know, there are plenty of houses that, when neglected, mold will spread rapidly. Now, his happens to look like fake gold that you get at a Michael's department store or something like that. But the gaudy gold tchotchkes are just, it's like a virus or something spreading across the walls of the people's house. And then there's that new, quote unquote, you know, walk of fame with the presidents, and the plaques underneath that are just full of Trump language disparaging, you know, these presidents. And I do sometimes wonder, Joe, that between having these portraits and putting the names on them and then putting big gold letters on things like the Oval Office and the West Wing, it does make me wonder if they're worried that he's going to forget where he is.
It kind of smacks of palliative care.
Yes.
Right. Like, yeah. Grandpa's on his way out, so we're just going to make him really comfortable. And the things that he rants and raves and asks for that are like doable, we'll do it. And it would be sad if the impacts on people were not so profound, right, and profoundly dangerous for the safety of individuals and families and communities and our country. I mean, we are getting smoked in the great power competition of this generation, particularly vis-a-vis China. And I won't totally nerd out here, but I don't think nearly enough attention has been paid to the decision by the Trump administration to allow NVIDIA to sell new AI chips to China. Right now, the one thing we have going for us in the AI race is we have about 50 times more compute power than China does. And independent analysts have found that giving China access to these chips can reduce that 50x advantage we have to a 1.2 advantage. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Yeah. And Trump will say, oh, it's a win because NVIDIA is going to give the US 25% of the profits from the sale. So now that's just state-run enterprise. I thought conservatives were against that. It doesn't make any sense, and it weakens America vis-a-vis our prime geopolitical rival. That's insane.
It is, and there is not any. There's so little in Congress among Republicans pushing back. Though I will say that when it comes to at least one matter, there is some pushback. You and I are old enough to remember when a discharge petition was an extremely rare tool where a majority of members could sign something and force a full vote on the matter, even if leadership doesn't want it. But now, for the fourth time, enough Republicans have signed a discharge petition that Speaker Mike Johnson has to hold a vote. And in this case, Joe, it's now an up or down vote on resurrecting the tax credits that helped keep health insurance affordable for 20 million Americans. And that you only needed four Republicans to sign it, and they did. It's there now. It's going to happen. And that's got to make the Derek Van Ordens, Brian Stiles, and others in the caucus just absolutely squirm, even if nothing comes of it, even if it dies in the Senate. The fact that that vote, that Mike Johnson couldn't protect Derek Van Orden and Brian Stiles from holding this vote, or Tony Weed or the others, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try to get the quote 100% accurate. Speaker Mike Johnson yesterday said something to the effect of, "I have not lost control of the House." And sir, with all due respect, methinks you doth protest too much. The fact that the question gets even posed underscores the degree to which Mike Johnson has lost all control over the House of Representatives. Governance by discharge petition is a horrible way to do this. And so a little teaser for anyone who watches the Upfront weekly news magazine, I will be on either this Sunday or next Sunday. It's not totally clear, but a little preview. My loser of 2025, one Mike Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I think I'm not a betting man, but that's one that you can.
You might say he's the biggest loser.
You might. You might say that indeed. Joe Zepecki is with us right now at 8:45 on this Thursday morning. Turning to state matters for just a moment here, we've got a new committee in the state Senate that is, I think, today beginning its operations. It's an oversight committee for the State Department of Justice because of, you know, some work with an outside group that might be interested in, you know, things like environmental justice and protecting the state of our natural resources. And the timing of investigating, quote unquote, the, you know, Josh Call while he's running for re-election, again, Joe, just feeds into the cynicism that Republicans think is really in their DNA, is to feed cynicism about government. But at some point, I've got to feel it becomes their kryptonite as well.
I think it has. When the chief of staff to the White House is describing just in an offhand manner to Vanity Fair that the vice president of the United States has been a conspiracy theorist for 10 years, that rot has gone well down into the firmament of the Republican Party and Republican elected officials. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. Now, listen, on the other hand, I have no problem with one branch of government taking steps to hold other co-equal branches of government accountable. But it's the manner and method and timing in which they choose to do it that reeks of, you know, witch hunt, you know, conspiracy mongering, and it's not healthy.
Yeah, and let's keep in mind that there are already committees in the legislature that exist. You could schedule that hearing for today to say, we want to know more about it. It's exactly what they have their committee on elections do when they were looking into outside groups that were helping local governments be able to afford to put on their elections. But to create a special investigative committee for this, it's just, again, most people don't want to hear about the inner workings of the legislature. We share this because you've got to understand the cynicism they have toward their own voters of creating committees like this rather than just asking a few questions like, hey, is this a proper use of money or not?
And let me just add, because I think it's also been woefully undercovered, this week, Jack Smith, the special counsel who led the indictments of Trump on two different counts, one relating to the unclassified or the classified materials, the second relating to the conspiracy to overturn the 2020 election, Congress dragged Jack Smith in. Okay, you get to do that. But the Republicans didn't want that testimony to be public. So it was private testimony.
Yeah.
If you want to do accountability and investigations, do them in the light of day, unless there are, you know, real military and geopolitical, you know, secrets that we cannot allow our adversaries to know about. This does not fit that bill. And so, you know, I'd like some consistency for Republicans in the new year. Maybe you could get me that for Christmas, Pat.
I will certainly see what I can do about it, but no guarantees. Joseph Pecky is with us. We'll continue the conversation coming up in just a bit. And then after 9 o'clock, Greg Bach will be along, continuing Matt and Air on Air through the rest of the calendar year here. And it includes, let me look here, All right, well, more me coming up at 9:30 with Greg Bach after the news. But as I said, we'll continue things with Joseph Pecky. Some final news and notes from up here on Lake Wissota right after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Remember, you can stay up to date on what we're doing at Up North News by signing up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe right up there at the banner at the top of the homepage and be all up to date on the things that Ellie Bordeaux is putting together for us on a weekday basis. And then my Sunday morning newsletter, which will continue well after this radio show, will continue covering state politics headlines of the week through that Sunday morning newsletter. Sign up at northnewswi.com. Joseph Pecky back with us now at 8:53. And Joe, I talked about this at length yesterday, but I want to bring up again the whole matter of a single legislator on the Joint Finance Committee has put up an anonymous objection, and as a result, the Department of Safety and Professional Services is blocked from using about $2 million in funding it has already raised through professional licensing fees to help improve customer service for people who are looking for questions about professional licenses or the licenses itself. It is that whole self-fulfilling prophecy, Joe, about the people who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently.
Yeah, and I just want to give listeners an example of what we're talking about here, because who needs a license? Lots of professions need licenses. Here's just a few of them. Nurses, physicians, acupuncturists, athletic trainers, dietitians, massage therapists, occupational therapists, podiatrists, accountants, real estate brokers, cosmetologists, electricians, plumbers. This is a big part of the role that government plays, is ensuring that people who work professionally and interact with the public are able to do the job. They've got the requisite training and skills necessary to do that. It's a consumer protection. And so we're not talking about some niche, oh, there's only like two weird jobs that need this. This impacts almost everybody. And the part of it that just makes me irate is the anonymous nature of it. This is a democracy. We debate things in public. If you want to be a stick in the mud or a gear in the sand, put your name on it. Whoever this coward of a surely Republican JFC member is, put your dang name on it so that the public can then communicate to you the importance of getting this right and unlocking this money to make sure that government is responsive to the people. I just hate this, whether it's the United States Senate or the Wisconsin JFC. If you want to put a hold on something, put your name on it, cowards.
Well, I'm not going to be holding my breath for it because, again, in the meantime, while there continue to be wait times of about 30 minutes or more at times when this agency gets calls from customers, they can't use the money that's already been raised to improve things until the full Joint Finance Committee meets and hears this and probably attaches more strings, if anything else. If there's one thing this legislature is noted for, it's attaching strings to things that make government services even less efficient and more expensive.
They never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
No, they never do. Joe Specky is with us here. And we've been going over matters happening at the state government level. And, of course, you know, with what happened with the economic speech yesterday. So we end up, you know, looking ahead now, you know, past the holiday season. You and I are going to stay in touch through Up North News. I'm sure you'll be making appearances here on Civic Media as well. But we're going to come into a new year with a legislature that's going to meet for, I don't know, what, 3-4 weeks, maybe?
Maybe.
And then go on a paid vacation for the rest of time after that. Is there anything else that you think that they can or should, well, anything that you think they can get done before they call it a session?
Well, I hope they get the Jody Habish-Sinikin data center bill done. This is an issue now. We cannot wait until 2027 to address this issue when these things are being proposed all over the place. We got to get this right. And I heard you talking about it before I came on. We don't have to be a reflexive no to things. And in fact, we shouldn't. But we should make sure that the investments the state is making, the things that are being built, are done in the right way. And the process that the Habish-Sinikin legislation spells out, I think makes a ton of sense to have an actual process in place to ensure there are safeguards and protections for communities, for our natural resources. So let's get this done. That's my number one legislative wish list item for 2026.
And then finally, again, a topic we've gone over a couple of times here, but the whole notion that Governor Tony Evers is somehow responsible for 400 years of tax increases when a governor does not have taxing authority. But it does, Joe. It sounds, it's the kind of thing you can fit on a bumper sticker. Yeah. And so in the governor's campaign next year, even though Tony Evers isn't on the ballot, that 400-year, you know, veto will be. The question is whether Democrats will know enough to turn it around and put the blame properly on a lazy legislature that isn't holding up its end of the deal to educate our kids.
It's not just lazy. It's the longest standing legislative control in memory. For going on 16 years, Democrats have not been able to govern. Republicans have controlled both chambers of the state legislature. So if you are frustrated with anything in the state of Wisconsin, I don't know how you can point the finger at anyone other than Republicans who control the legislature. And the thing you can do about it is give Democrats a chance to do things differently and do things better and actually prioritize K-12 public education in a way Republicans have not. And that's the solve here. Full stop.
When I was running in 2006 for my one and only term, it was a very easy campaign slogan. And it had nothing to do with the guy that I was running against. But because I was seeing things like this, the slogan was simply, "We deserve a better legislature." And frankly, that might be time to make a comeback, because it is. It's what Wisconsin deserves better than this.
Yep. And I think we'll get it. It's, you know, it's been a rough year, but hope springs eternal.
As always, Joe, we'll do a little wrap up with you and Melissa in the next couple of weeks here, but thanks for all the weekly visits. I appreciate it so much and hope you have a great holiday season as well.
Same to you, Pat. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. And thanks to all of you for being with us today. We got one more go round of this tomorrow morning, and then we're going to call it good. You'll be able to follow me over at Up North News, the Wisconsin home for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news outlet. Have yourselves a great Thursday. We'll see you one more time bright and early, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.